Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin. Well, greetings, everyone. Thanks for taking the time to tune in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. This is a live show. We've taken a few weeks off. I'm Jason Ophir, joined by psychic medium Sherry. And it's just one of those, we'll talk about whatever tonight, but we are live on 7/16/23. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, how's it going, Jason?
Going. Still kicking. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, I'm hanging in there. Just lots and lots of busyness, a lot of things I'm doing, a lot of projects, a lot of busyness. But other than that, I'm doing well. What's been happening in your neck of the woods?
Well, I've got a lot to report, and not paranormal, but in my own personal life. I don't know if anybody's interested in hearing about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they are.
Oh, well. Well, geez, where do I start? Now, I know I've mentioned in the past many times that my heart is not beating correctly. It's annoying. Been going on for 15 years, and yeah, you know, I've been checked out and done stress tests, worn Holter monitors, and done all that good stuff before, and yeah, it's all messed up, but I finally got around to, well, I went to a cardiologist, I don't know, maybe 7-8 months ago, did a stress test, wore a Holter monitor, and they had referred me to an electrophysiologist, which is a cardiologist that specializes in just your heart rhythm, you know, the electrics
okay.
of your heart. Well, I never went to it because I wasn't terribly concerned because it's been going on for 15 years. It's nothing new, you know. So I finally broke down and made the appointment and went a week or two ago to the electrophysiologist. My blood pressure was through the ridiculously high, but wasn't too concerned about that because it usually is when I go to the doctor. I don't like going to the doctor, as many people don't. It's just kind of funny because I work in a hospital. But for me, going to the doctor, it's like, yeah, I hate it. So I go there. I thought it was just a consultation, and they kind of threw me off guard when they wanted to do an EKG, which I didn't really see much point of that because there's plenty of those to look at that have been done in the
past.
So it caught me off guard, and I think I could have just looked at any of the other dozen EKGs that have been done. But they did it, and the cardiologist came and it was kind of weird. The cardiologist was just throwing a strange vibe, like, I don't know what it is. Not necessarily a bad vibe, but he just kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I don't know what it is. It's hard to say. But at any rate, basically, I told them I don't want to take medication because, you know, it would be like these kind of dangerous antiarrhythmics, you know? I don't want to put that in my body and miss, you know. It's just the kind of medications that you'd have to make sure that it's not harming your liver, your kidneys. And Lord knows when you take stuff like that. I mean, everybody's an individual and react differently to different things. I've taken some mild medication in the past, and it did nothing for my problem. So I told him I didn't want to do the medication route. The second option, and this is the one he wanted to do, but he made it clear that it's my choice, that, you know, blah, 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 is a catheter ablation where they take a wire and wire it through your arteries into your heart, and they burn the areas that are problematic.
Ooh, you're kidding.
That does not sound like a good time to me. And just the complications that are possible, granted rare, but possible is really scary. I mean, if something can go wrong, you can need open heart surgery. Theoretically, it could just make things worse, or you could end up with even more dangerous rhythms, you know? Sounds like that just doesn't sound like a party for me. And then the third option, which is the option that I chose, which was just watch and wait. Basically, go get an echocardiogram every 2 years just to make sure these rhythms aren't putting me into heart failure. And so I'll go in a year and get another echo just to make sure it's not damaging my heart. I had an echo 2 years ago, and it was totally fine. So I don't suspect that it's – I would have suspected if I was going to get heart damage that I would have gotten it by now. So I'm not terribly concerned about it. So I finally got that done. And then this week, this coming week, I get to go to the gastroenterologist. I'm going to see if they'll – there's something wrong with my gut. So probably want to do an endoscopy to shove a camera down my throat, which will be only mildly awkward because I actually – you know, I work at the hospital, so I go – I know this guy because I go to some of his procedures to do stuff. So I got that to look forward to. And then there's the big thing. That's all this minor BS. The big change in my life is, so I've worked for a healthcare system for 2 years, and a large system, probably the second largest in Oregon, and found out the other day there was a urgent meeting on Teams that basically a corporation called LabCorp, a huge laboratory company that has just been going around buying laboratories, has purchased my health system's laboratory, which I have no interest in working for LabCorp whatsoever. And basically, my position is going to transition to be a LabCorp employee. And I was like, nope, not in my watch. That's just stupid, and I don't want nothing to do with it. And the health insurance benefits are going to cost a fortune. I'm just like, no. You know, and so I was thinking about just, I have not enjoyed the Portland area for pretty much the 33 years I've been here. I've hated it. So I decided that it was time to just get the hell out. And I told my work, I said, oh, just so you know, I'm going to bounce out of here. And there's a lot of unhappy people. A lot of doctors are unhappy with my decision, but because I'm very well liked and respected, and which kind of sucks to abandon the cushy job that I have now in pathology. But yeah, so I am selling my house. I am moving a moderate distance away, and I am moving without a job lined up. And I'll just find a job when I get to this undisclosed location. And it's not anywhere near Portland. We're talking hundreds of miles away. And
it's out of the state. Right?
I don't want to say it's in the state. I don't want to say it's out of state, but it ain't anywhere near northern Oregon.
It ain't Timbuktu.
And so I'm going without a job lined up, and that's fine. I've already started to give away my belongings. In fact, we spoke the other day. You're going to take a lot of my stuff. I sold my very nice couch yesterday. Yeah, I sold it to a coworker. Paid almost $900 for it. We never use it, so it's essentially brand new. And
it looks like a leather one too.
Yeah, it's super super nice. It automatically reclines on both ends and all that. But yeah, so I got rid of that, and you know, I'm gonna get rid of the fish tanks. You're gonna take a lot of my decor, Native American decor and paintings and shit. And because my plan is. I think the best option is going to be to purchase an RV and I'm just going to do that. A nice RV. And I'm not talking like going to buy a $20,000 1991 thing. I mean, I'm going to buy a brand new RV and do
yeah,
that.
At least,
but,
yeah, that'd be great. I think you need some time off, Jason.
I do. I'm not going to rush back to work at all. I need to take a break. The sale of the house will allow me to do that. I may purchase some land where I'm going and an RV and just park it on the land. But it's hard to know exactly. There's so many unknowns at this point. You know, how much will my house sell for? And are people even buying houses and stuff like that? So it may be a while. So I'm going to be kind of stuck in limbo until the house actually gets listed. I'm meeting with the real estate agent tomorrow. We're going to kind of just go over some prep for the pictures. But this is happening. This is 100% happening. Event, you know, I'm getting the hell out of here. I hate Portland.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I really don't. I don't blame you a bit. No, I don't blame you a bit. it's time to move on. And, you know, when you get these little synchronicities and little signs, it's time to move on. It's time to, you know, pack up and just move on.
Yeah, it may be rough in the beginning, but, you know, it's just time. I kind of just took that change in my work situation as a signal that it's time
mm-hmm.
to move on. And
you've been, and you've been thinking about this for a while, Jason. It's not like this came on suddenly.
No, I almost moved a year ago and actually had an employer that was going to hire me. They actually wanted me to come down and work for a day before they hired me. But the timing just didn't seem right, and now it is. I don't know that there's any jobs really available at the moment, but that's not really going to matter too much. You know, I would love to take a year off, but maybe I'll take a few years. Maybe I'll take 7 years. I don't know. Maybe just a few months. You know, it all just depends on the sale of the house and how much money there is. And, you know, because I'm getting screwed because the HOA here, which I'm on the board, it's going to charge every homeowner here $40,000, so that's going to take a chunk. But you know, it's fine. It's fine if I have to pay that. Whatever. It's just part of life when those things pop up. You know.
Wow. Yeah, $40,000 is a lot.
Yeah, a lot for especially when it has nothing to do with the units that you live in, because mine are brand new, basically. But whatever.
And how many years is your unit? How many years is your they were it was built 4 years ago? For how many years ago?
Mine was built in 2020. The other ones were built like early 2000s, I think.
Really?
And they need $2 million of work. So. All of us that own the newer, it's about 50-50 newer units versus older units. So, you know, it's going to be ugly. There's not, whatever. It'll all be dealt with when, you know, it'll all be dealt with escrow and all that, however all that title works, it'll just be pulled off the top.
Jeez.
But
wow.
keep in mind that my house also has appreciated in 3 years about $100,000. So, you know, I'm still going to do okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So when do you think you're going to leave, you think? Well, it depends on when you sell your house, right?
Well, if it lists, well, I'm hoping to list it next week sometime, and just depending on how long it takes to sell, there's a lot of positives with it. I mean, I already have central air. You know, I got a little backyard. I got a garage. I got, you know, it's a very good, you know, very good location.
Wow.
Exciting times, you know, change is exciting. I particularly don't like change. I am a creature of habit. So we'll see how I handle it.
Well, let's I want to do a body scan with you. And so let's figure out what day would work for you. And if that's okay with you, it's not going to cost you anything. Let's do a body scan with you, being a medical medium trained in Chinese medicine.
And okay. So, you're going to be coming out soon anyway, so.
Yeah, that's true. We can do it then, too. Yes, we can do it then, too. That's true. Maybe we can have lunch.
Yeah, we can do that.
So perhaps we can do that. We'll figure something out. But yeah, we'll figure that out. So okay, go ahead.
Well, I definitely have problems that traditional medicine isn't addressing.
Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. Just kind of so. It's good to, you know, be there and be of service and everything. So that'd be great. What else is happening? There's a lot of things that are happening around the world. I don't know if you've been been with it and everything, but boy, we were talking about air traffic. You and my husband was talking about air traffic. You know how there's different kinds of activities in the air. What else is going on? A lot of UFOs. Where do we start?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing going on right now is the UFO situation. We're hearing more and more from the government about it. One of the most recent stories is that people are claiming that they have recovered UFO debris pulled from the Pacific Ocean, from the floor of the ocean. And they're saying it's proof aliens have visited Earth. Scientists were able to recover items from the bottom of the ocean that landed out there 10 years ago. And there's a Harvard professor that says that it could be proof of extraterrestrial life. They were kind of microscopic remnants that they believe crashed into the ocean. And there was an expedition that was taken underway, and they managed to collect 50 microscopic particle spherules that basically look like a speck of dust and weigh only about 30 milligrams. And it was off the coast of Papua New Guinea. Basically, this originated from a runaway fireball in 2014 that exploded in the lower atmosphere and fell into the ocean. They say that the material is that is stronger than space rocks and stuff like that. That's why they believe it was part of an extra terrestrial craft. They say it's highly unusual. And so that's kind of the big thing. They say that these microscopic objects are perfectly round. And one person that looked under a microscope said they appear to look like molten raindrops.
Ooh.
And I'm looking at pictures. It is kind of interesting. So they're looking into that. Do I think it's part of a UFO? I have no idea, but I kind of doubt it. But that's one of the big stories that's circulating right now. And I think just because the UFO thing is such a hot topic right now with all of what the government's coming out with and all these whistleblowers saying that we have crashed alien crafts. And I think we'll continue this trajectory of getting more information and regarding the UFO or UAP, whatever you want to call it, phenomenon.
I know. Imagine what we don't know.
Yeah, it's probably, I imagine that we don't know because it's probably not a good thing.
Jeez, yeah, not horrible. Wow. Yeah.
And there's
a lot more
videos out there. There's a lot of more videos circulating. Of course, it's hard to know exactly what is real and fake, but I'm noticing that it is becoming more, since we're getting more and more data and more stuff come out, it's really starting to get a lot more videos and claims and stuff like that. You know, that thing in Arizona that I talked about last time or a couple times ago about the alien in the guy's backyard. So I suspect we're going to start seeing more and more stuff like that.
I can imagine. So I wonder what is being said and what's not being said. I don't know. I'm, like I said, I'm not even keeping up with that kind of stuff. I should be, but my life is so, I'm very blessed, but my life is so full right now between my work and the boys and just keeping myself abreast and, you know, just crazy. It's a good kind of crazy. I feel very blessed.
Yeah, I don't look for this information. That's what's funny, is it just comes across my social media feeds. So I'm not out there digging for stories. So,
well, we want to, you know, I just want to say something really quickly, and we want to send some prayers to a couple people. Yeah, first of all, Clyde Lewis. Clyde Lewis is taking about a 5 to 6 week respite. He's in a hospital for weight management, and so he's not going to be on air for, I think, what my understanding, maybe about 6 weeks, maybe 7 weeks. I thought it was five. No, it's a month and a half. He's gone right now. So let's keep him in our prayers that hopefully he, you know, will be okay.
Absolutely. And for those that don't know Clyde Lewis, at one point he was a syndicated radio show host of Ground Zero. Now I think it's just online. Is that correct? Or is he on the airwaves?
He's on the airwaves every night. He is literally on the airwaves every night still.
The actual radio, not just online streaming?
I think it's actual radio. I think it's
cool.
Actual radio. But I'm not... Mm-hmm.
Oh, wish him the best.
Yes. And also, too, we want to send some good vibes to Andrea Perrone. And her mom is in hospice. Catherine Perrone from The Conjuring, what the movie is based out of. She's in hospice right now. So Andrea's with her, along with her younger sister, Christine. Yeah, she's right now taking care of her mom and making sure she's as comfortable as possible. So we just want to send some really good vibes, healing vibes, and lots of hugs and love.
Yeah, Andrea Perrone is an amazing individual with such knowledge and very inspirational and a repeated guest on our show. And just wish her the best. Wish her mom the best.
Yep, exactly, exactly. So anyway, that's just keep him in our prayers and hopefully for a speedy recovery and mom, and that her mom, when she does, is that she will go in peace. She went through a lot when they were at the farmhouse. And I don't know, you might want to tell our listeners who Andrea Perrone is and the family.
Yeah, well, the blockbuster movie, The Conjuring, that was based on, Andrea Perrone was one of the children that went through that. And boy, that movie took off. Like, that was a huge movie. And now they have all sequels of various different, it's The Conjuring franchise now. I mean, you have so many movies and, yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah, and Andrea wrote House of Darkness, House of Light. So anybody would like to know about really what happened in The Conjuring, her trilogy that she wrote herself is House of Darkness and House of Light. Go ahead and read it. She said The Conjuring is more like a child's play to actually what really.
What's awesome about her is it's not just talking about the Conjuring house. You know, she's got the inside for all the you know, the alien stuff as well, which is fascinating. She's the triple threat of the paranormal. She's got it all.
She knows her stuff. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what's happening other than the UFO? Anything happening in the paranormal world?
Not that I have seen lately, because we have, like I said earlier, we have just been inundated with UFO stuff. There's not a lot of ghost stuff. I actually have spent a little bit of time, I don't watch ghost shows, but I'm spending a little time watching Ghost Adventures, which is one of my favorites. I normally don't do that. I normally don't spoil myself watching Ghost Adventures, but it is entertaining. But that has been the extent of my involvement in the paranormal. I do like a good Ghost Adventures.
Good Ghost Adventures. Have you watched that lately? I have not watched. I have not watched anything about the Ghost Adventures at all.
I've been watching it lately, and you know, you have to take that with all a grain of salt. You know, it's television. I mean, they claim it's real, but who knows? But regardless of whether it's 100% real or not, it's still entertaining. That I think it's out of all the ghost shows that I've run into, that's just the best one. That's the one that's produced the best and most entertaining to watch. When I watch it, I don't just watch all the episodes. I'm not interested in hotels, hauntings, or restaurants. I search for the episodes where it's actually people's homes, which I find far more interesting. So I look for those where it's like, you know, somebody contacted them and said, oh, my God, our house is haunted by a demon. And I watch those ones.
Oh, do you? And honestly, I don't watch that many of them, and hardly anymore. I mean, it's been a long time. But what would you say the percentage is really fit that it's an authentic case? Do you find as a paranormal investigator, do you find most of them are just made up or imaginary? What would you say is the percentage of really what's authentic?
It's really hard to say because, like, it's television, and I've done paranormal investigations, and when you invest a large sum of money in a production and you go to investigate and nothing happens, you're wasting money. So I understand why. I'm not just singling out Ghost Adventures, it's just any ghost show. So it's really hard to know whether or not there's any fakery involved. I've done ghost investigations where, you know, nothing happened, you know, so I can see, do you see what I'm saying with the show?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're paying all this money to do a production. You're not going to televise an episode where nothing happens, you know, and it does. I will say that the episodes that they do put through seem to have a lot of activity, which makes me a little skeptical. And that's the other possibility, is that maybe they do investigations that capture nothing and they don't air them. And maybe they're just airing the ones that are best for TV. I have no idea. But they are entertaining regardless. And in my opinion, the best show out there.
Wow. Well, Jason, go ahead.
I wanted to mention one more thing. This I found kind of disturbing on a different subject, but a paranormal subject nonetheless. As I've mentioned in the past before, I'm a big fan of TikTok, the app.
Oh yeah, I don't have TikTok.
So I'm scrolling through my TikTok, and there's a lot of. I'm not looking for any kind of subject in particular. I just kind of get random videos, and there's a lot of pagan people out there. You know, they're into witchcraft. But I came across one which kind of surprised me, actually, is this gal basically works with demons. Like, that's her thing. She's not really a demonologist, but, like, she uses demons to improve her life. She, like, by invoking specific demons, and she says, just a different light on demons. They're not as bad as people have made them out to be. And apparently you can go out there and you can summon demons that will help you through your life and stuff like that. I found it very interesting. Not something that I would try to do because I got enough drama in my life, but just, it was interesting. Like there's people out there that just not like, and it wasn't like this Satanism type thing where, you know, they're trying to harm people or do these crazy rituals, but they're using these demons to improve their own life. They sign, wow. She said they sign contracts with these demons.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know, and she was going into like, well, what happens if you, she was addressing questions like, what happens if you break the contract and blah, blah, blah. And she was in a very specific, I think it was a 30-day contract with some demon named King Paimon or something like that. And it's fascinating. I mean, what people believe and what sort of energies they put out into the universe is absolutely fascinating to me. Like, so, yeah.
Wow.
And there you go.
So, does she have a big following?
She seemed to, yeah. I didn't follow her because I want to stay as far away from that. You know, as I've said 1,000 times before on Paranormal Horizons, I'm skeptical, but I'm not an idiot either. I don't claim to know everything about it. So I don't want to have anything to do with entities or demons that, whether I'm skeptical or not, I just, maybe they're real. And I don't want to put my energy in that direction, even if it's through just following somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I wouldn't be interested at all. It's just something I would not even want to go there. No. And I'm surprised that people will go do that. You know, is it supposed to be, she's supposed to be a white witch, you know, instead of a black witch, dark, you know, is that what's your impression?
Yeah, I don't know that she was a witch, but same kind of thing. A completely opposite of perspective of what you would expect to hear from somebody summoning demons, you know.
Oh, my
God. What we perceive it is what we see in the movies and stuff like that. But apparently these entities can help you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very ancient entities that, you know, predate the Bible and stuff like that. So, but that's not, like I said, I got enough drama in my life. I don't need that shit in my life. So I just find
exactly.
It fascinating.
Exactly. That's true. Wow. Yeah, just, that's why I don't go into the dark side at all, is because I don't want to go there. You know, I don't want to be there at all. I, you know, into healing and helping people and seeing smile on their faces and, you know, just helping if they can bring a smile to their pain or wherever they're going, emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, that's mad. I'm not. I could really care less what's going on with that other side. So
yeah.
If I did anything, I would go and farm that out to somebody, a couple people I would know, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Wow. So I'm going to share this with you because now that we're talking about RV camping, it just happened on Newsweek. It's an article. Anybody can go on there. It was on 10/20/22. It's a travel article, and it's about haunted campgrounds. So I thought about you, Jason.
Oh, cool. That's the kind of campgrounds I want to stay as far away from as possible.
Well, since you're going to be on the road, you know, maybe outside of the state, you never know, but we're going to research the RV Trader, rvtrader.com. It shows a compiling list of the spookiest campgrounds to travel to and stay if you dare. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so number one is Bradley Pond. Excuse me, coughing. I got something in my throat here. At first, this campsite was used for fishing and hiking in the 1960s when it was constructed by U.S. Forest Service. However, it turned into one of the most most haunted campgrounds after many believe in old gang murder began the creepy occurrences that many, many people experienced while staying in the campground. Jay Willis, a paranormal researcher and investigator and also an empath, she said she told the magazine BYRT, Dirt, while traveling with a group, she felt very, very uneasy. Two people in her group became very sick and left. However, Willis and another member stayed the night. During the night, she saw unexplainable sights in the trees and the water. Excuse me. She also felt something crawling up her back while helping her partner to fall into the pond, and experienced four nightmares weeks after staying at the haunted location. Excuse me. Wow, what do you think of that, Jason?
It wouldn't surprise me. Back in my younger days, I used to travel around and camp all the time for weeks at a time, and there are a couple different places that you just sense just not great energy.
And so
whether those areas were haunted or not, I don't know. But you can kind of feel that, you know, or at least I can. You just like, feels heavy, it feels off, it feels uncomfortable. So it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, there's so much, you know, if it, Native Americans in the past could have been buried there or lived there. I mean, who knows?
It's so creepy, man. Like you said, heavy. It just feels like maybe, and I'm just saying, maybe it feels like you're being watched. A very uneasy feeling.
Yeah.
There is the woods, especially at night.
Typically, I associate that feeling as that's the kind of feeling I get when I've gone somewhere where somebody has died. I get that.
Oh yeah.
That feeling. It's like, oh, somebody's died here. You know.
Oh my gosh! Can you imagine? We talked about it in one of the previous ones where we had that forest in Japan, where all the suicides go, where they want to go and hide and go take their own life in Japan. That I forgot the name of the forest.
I can't remember the name of it either. Yeah, that's one of those places that probably just has a really weird vibe to it.
Yeah, it's a creepy vibe. It's like it's so sullen and very, it doesn't have a very good feeling at all.
It's, I don't know how you pronounce this, but the Okigahara Forest in Japan. And they found 105 bodies in it. So, probably.
105? That's more than
that. Well, I'm sure it's more than that, but just what's been found.
They haven't even probably uncovered some of the bones and things like that.
It's one of the most popular suicide places in Japan. Oh, in 2003, 105 bodies were found in the forest, exceeding the record of 2002's, which 78 were found. In 2010, police recorded more than 200 people having attempted suicide in the forest, and of those, 54 were completed suicide, had died. And yeah, that's just a weird, I mean, there's probably thousands. I mean, if you're talking 100 people a year, that's probably thousands of people have killed themselves in this forest, which I believe, it's on the base of Mount Fuji.
That's crazy. Okay, let's go back. The next one, number two, is Lake Marina County Park in California. Located outside of San Diego lies the most remote reservoir in the county. While staying in the vast desert, mountain, and landscape, many have witnessed a man who could walk on air, while others have spotted a woman in a long white dress and have heard heavy footsteps in the area.
Well, that's something I wouldn't want to see when I'm eating my freaking hot dogs on the fire.
No, I don't think so either. Number three is Holy Ghost Campground in New Mexico. The appropriate name for this campsite is located in Steep Canyon in Santa Fe National Forest. The legend says that the name was given due to a priest that killed the Pueblo people who lived in the area in the late 17th century. However, other people believed it was the Pueblo people who killed the priest in self-defense. To this day, this priest still haunts the this campground. Many people have experienced hearing chanting in the forest, seeing shadows lurking in the trees, and disappearing state troopers. Oh, wow. Montana, number four, Bannock State Park. It is located in the area of Bannock that was popular for its mining as it was the site of major gold discovery in 1862. Due to this, people traveled there in hopes of getting rich. At one point, nearly 5,000 people inhabited the town, which led to violence, including shootouts and hangings. Henry Plummer, the sheriff of the town at the time, was thought to be moonlighting as an outlaw, thus creating a vigilante committee of leaders around the region to stop the town's criminal activity. This group was responsible for the hanging of Plummer, among other potential criminals. Some believe that Plummer's spirit haunts the campground to this day. Other people report sounds of someone crying and the sightings of a teenage girl, specifically at the Hotel Mead, hotspot for lingering spirits.
Creepy.
Number five is Hunting Island State Park in South Carolina. As the park has more over 1 million visitors each year, many come to visit the alleged Hunting Island Lighthouse. One tale describes an old lighthouse keeper who did their best to save a boy who was drowning but ultimately failed. Many have reported they have seen the lighthouse keeper on the beach trying to find the little boy to save him. Another story is told about the lighthouse keeper's daughter who jumped off the top of the lighthouse. The legend says that if you climb up the stairs at the lighthouse, you might just hear her moans and groans. Some say that the lighthouse keeper's spirit continues to do their job, even if they passed on. Many people have reported hearing knocking on the doors at the late hours of the night.
None of those things I want to experience.
Carl G. Washburn Memorial State Park in Oregon. Many think of ghosts on the scarier side, a spirit named Rue who haunts the Carl G. Washburn Memorial State Park in Oregon is a wrathful, helpful spirit. Wrathful but helpful spirit. Rue is allegedly a former caretaker of the property. The Hasita Head Lighthouse employees of the area have experienced Rue wanting to help them with their duties, as well as report them moving objects in rooms and sitting on their beds.
Wow.
It's a thrill to see experiences that campers report encountering at a campground for them to earn a haunted title. Story Stacy, a representative of RVTrader.com, told Newsweek, "All the stories have a shocking component that makes them entertaining to hear, but must have to share with RVs looking for adventure. However, if you're not a fan of Halloween haunted tales, these campgrounds are all located in beautiful areas with great accommodations and tons of high-star reviews on the awesome experiences staying there." Stacy also revealed that one of the more surprising stories was discovered in the research in the Bradley Palm Campground due to the creepy stories and the chilling experience people have witnessed and experienced. So if you're not traveling in an RV, it is suggested that you get some tips to get started. You plan on where you want to go and set up properly. In an emergency, you might want to have tools so that you can evacuate safely.
Run for your lives.
I love that. Evacuate safely. Oh, shit. Evacuate safely. I love that. Oh, my gosh. So that's news.
When I hear evacuate safely, I keep thinking of having to go to the toilet. I mean, a safe bathroom experience. I need to evacuate safely.
I'm thinking about not tripping over stuff.
Oh, well, there's that, too.
That's what I was thinking. Get in the panic, you're not paying attention because you're so nervous and everything. You're not, you tend to sometimes maybe invite accidents or trouble.
Yeah, it doesn't
but
take much
right.
to get hurt.
There's
no, I know,
so
I know what you're talking about. I'm just being stupid right now.
There's so much. Oh my gosh, the UFO is phenomenal. I'm just checking it out. There's a lot, a lot. So anyway, conspiracy theories. There's a lot in that going on too. You know, with all the planes that are flying over, and you know, wondering if people are being tracked, or you know, there's a lot of things going on we don't know about. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, we're all being tracked. There's no question. That's not even a secret. I don't think that's a conspiracy theory.
Uh huh. So as a private investigator, what do you suggest that you can, you know, even though we're talking, do you have any suggestions for people that may want to have a little bit of, you know, privacy or anything like that? Do you suggest anything?
Move to an uncharted island or Antarctica or the North Pole and have no electronic devices and just live off the land. Unfortunately for us...
There might be
to function in this world, you know, we're accustomed to technology, and that's what we're comfortable with. And unfortunately, it's not just the government that's spying on us; it's corporations and everything else. So unless you completely unplug, and even then, you're not completely off the grid. I mean, you literally would have to have no electronics and go to such a remote area that you'd never be found. And that's not realistic for most people. And so no, you just have to, being spied on is just part of our life, and there's no realistic way to avoid it.
Well, before we even had social media, I don't think, I mean, you were able to do that. I think that you were able to kind of, you know, be out of the radar.
Yeah, my recommendation is that since we work in this type of situation with technology and stuff like that, there's nothing we can do about the government spying on you. There's some things you can do about corporations spying on you. And there's the most obvious things is just don't put your information online. At least don't put your real information. Don't put your real name, date of birth, you know, or addresses anywhere. You just don't use real information. I mean, you could take it one step further, go to Best Buy and buy burner phones and stuff like that, but that's going to be a hassle. But the biggest thing is because we have to work in society the way it is to be comfortable, is just don't make it easier for people by putting your information out there.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I mean, when you just said that, you know, you're just saying something just like you see cars. And I think, to be honest with you, I think that stickers are tacky. I don't think, you know, stickers belong to a car, really. But when when I see stickers like, oh, my daughter graduated from, let's just say, my daughter graduated from New York State University. You know, it shows a little bit of information about you. You're a walking advertisement.
Yeah, and it doesn't take a PI to learn information. I mean, all you do is Google somebody's name, and if you know, can narrow them down to the city they live in. It's not hard at all. And, you know, there's companies that compile information on people. If you want to do online background checks and stuff like that, or if you could go to your county's courthouse, and a lot of them have free records online. Like in Oregon, I could just type in a name and see if they have any civil or criminal cases. And, you know, it's just our information's out there everywhere.
Wow. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a, it's just from the point of birth, you're just, you're on the map, you're on the radar. So unless you're born off the grid or whatever, your dad is there. I mean, they take your footprint when you're born, and, you know, you get your social security number when you're young and all that, so.
Wow. That's crazy.
And now everybody likes to collect DNA, so your DNA is probably in some database.
So what's going on with the DNA? You mean your DNA is, once you go to the doctor, you just kind of signed yourself off kind of with your DNA?
I don't know exactly how it works, but I do know that there are probably some forms, you know, that you're signing off basically saying for research, quotation marks, where they can use your blood for research or tissue or whatever. But who knows what's really being done. And then, you know, if you use, of course, any of the websites to do find out where you're from, like Ancestry or 23andMe and all those people, then, of course, you're putting yourself out there. There was you can never assume that your dad is being protected. There was a murder case that was, I don't remember how many years ago, but they actually tracked down the killer because the murder suspects, I don't know, brother or sister did one of the DNA sites, not the big ones. It was a more niche thing, not Ancestry or anyone like that. But the murderer had a relative that submitted DNA, and the cops actually were able to catch the killer by their sibling's DNA. So, yeah.
Wow. Oh, geez. Boy. So, like, I don't have TikTok. I don't think I will. But is that, do you just kind of take things at face value? I don't know. I've seen clips of people doing their TikTok. But do you believe what you see on TikTok, or is it just part of, like, anything like Instagram or Facebook?
Yeah, it's about 50-50. I mean, there's a lot of nonsense where people do things, you know, because they want the views. Then there's legitimate videos out there, people that are dying of liver cirrhosis and medical problems and fights and you know, stuff like that. It's very addictive. It's like the crack of social media, and I hope that they don't get rid of it. And yes, I'm probably putting myself out there for some China to have my information and stuff like that, but I'm to the point I don't care, just because all of our information's out there. Really, I'm less concerned about China knowing about me than I am the United States, so.
Really? Is that how you feel? Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
What do I care about China? If China's got my data, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't live in China, so maybe I'll take my RV to China. Who knows?
So yeah, like you said, it's very addicting. Just better than what you Instagram or any of those. You like that, huh? Of TikTok, you like them of anything. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have a very addictive personality. As you know, I love slot machines, and it doesn't take much for me to get addicted.
Uh huh. Well, I don't. I don't have an addictive personality.
One of these days, we'll have to do a show on slot machine addiction.
That's really?
Actually something I know a lot about because I'm one of the slot addicts.
Have you ever thought about going to, and it's not in my business, but in a sense, have you ever thought about maybe getting help or anything if you needed to? Or do you feel like it's, you can manage your addiction?
No, I do not want help for it.
Okay.
I would say, you know, if on a scale of 1 to 10 of how addicted I am, 10 being the person that sells all their personal belongings and or spends their whole paycheck and uses their rent, I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, I am probably like a solid 7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've been doing this for years. And I've seen the people out there that, you know, get mad at the machines because they just blew their paycheck and stuff like that. It's truly a devastating addiction, and it's unrated. It's underrated. 'Cause it destroys lives, but it makes so much money for the states. It's the second largest income for the state because poor people,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're just poor people are getting poor because of it. And the state's idea of helping people is putting up signs around the slot machines that say, call 1-800 for help or whatever, but they don't want people to stop, you know. It makes too much money for them.
Well, the thing is with you is that you're not going to sell your mother over. You know, you're not going to not pay your bills before you know. It's like anything else. You want to make sure you got food on the table and you pay your bills.
Exactly, and I take it right up to that line. So. Sometimes I cross that line too, but no.
Sometimes you want to take a vacation. You already spent your money, right?
Yeah, when I look at it, it's like I don't even want to put a figure on how much money I've lost over the years.
Mm-hmm,
but it would
mm-hmm.
be an astonishing amount of money. And I look back at all, do I regret it? Not one bit, because I look out of all the countless hours of enjoyment that I've gotten from it because I enjoy it.
Wow.
So to me, it's worth it, but not a lot of people look at it that way, you know? So
everybody has
it
their
is what it is. I take accountability for the, what I've done, you know? So,
wow.
You know, there's some good videos on YouTube about people that really, you know, they just go out and they hawk all their property and possessions and end up homeless. There was like one lady in Vegas who had like $30 million and she just blew it all in the casinos on the slot machines over the course of like 7 years. Now it's like homeless. I mean, the stories are endless. So I think it would be an interesting topic just because I know I'm not the only one. In fact, where I originally worked for this organization, there was several people that like to do what I do, but there was actually somebody that's even worse than I am that I work with. So it's not a rare problem.
Right. Oh my gosh! Wow. Well, instead of, you know, talking, you know, that for me, I think it was years ago, probably about 8-9 years ago, went to, I think, Seven Feathers. So I blew about maybe $100. It was 8 years ago, 8-9 years ago. It wasn't within 5 or 6. And I blew $100. And at that time, I was competitive running, and I, you know, really devoted in competing and doing different running events. And I was so taken back of losing $100. It was actually $90, to be honest with you. I kicked myself in my butt all time and time again. It's like, wow, here I am going to, you know, go and do black chaps, sit on the blackjack table. I can imagine, yes, investing $100 and maybe making $200 or $300 or $400 or whatever. I lost everything, probably easily within 10 minutes, lost everything, no more than 15 minutes. And I kicked myself in the butt, and I thought to myself, you know what? I could go buy myself a pair of brand new running shoes, New Balance running shoes. That's what brand I was wearing. New Balance running shoes and have something to show for it than just blowing it in a machine, didn't really enjoy it, just hoping that I get some money or recover what I put invested. And that was, you know, that was it. I think that was the last time I gambled. I know people that go buy lottery tickets, and, you know, maybe that's a good thing for them, but I just find it's a waste. I'd rather go have a good meal at a nice restaurant than buying lottery tickets or buying
It's not even worth my time to sit down to play with less than $500.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Really?
And
the more you...
Yeah. You gotta. I'm not the type of person that just throws in 20 and wins big. It just doesn't happen. It's not realistic. I see other people do it all the time. It's just not how my luck works. But we gotta end the show. But I will end it with how I got addicted. So, as the final story of the evening, how did Jason get addicted?
Well, hopefully you win the jackpot.
What's that?
Multi-million-dollar jackpot.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of luck either. Why don't you? I'll tell you what. Why don't you close with what you want to your ending comments,
and then I'll
end with my story.
Okay, I will plug myself in. Hey, anybody? Yes, I'm. If you want Chinese medicine, you want to do a medical scan or a session with me, go ahead and get a hold of me at Psychic Medium Sherry. Go ahead and just go into the contact form, or you can go on the Facebook page, Psychic Medium Sherry. It's spelled C-H-E-R-I. My website is www.psychicmediumsherry.com. You can go home, like I said earlier, just ask me on the contact form, and I'll get back to you. Would love to assist beautiful souls, and that's what I want to attract. All right, go ahead, Jason.
All right, we'll close with the story of how Jason became addicted to slot machines. It was a warm summer day in the state of Oregon. And now I had played these slots before, but I was never addicted. It was always like a casual thing. I'm out with the bikers, you know, biker club I used to be a part of. Yeah, I throw some bills in. Whatever. Sometimes I win, but I was never hooked. So my work one day situation went south. I didn't have a job, but I was getting unemployment. And I was sitting at home, and I was bored out of my mind. And the thought just hit me. It was almost like some divine force came down. And the thought was, hey, you're bored. Why don't you go play those stupid state lottery machines? So I grabbed some money. I head down to one of these local, they're not bars, but they're like establishments that are just for playing the Oregon State Lottery machines. And it was a Dottie's. No one's going to know what that is unless you live up here, but it's just a place you can play the machines. And so I'm having a good old time, and I'm just paying 10 lines, 1 cent per line, 10 cents a spin, you know. And I just not paying much attention. And then suddenly I get all the jackpots lined up. And I'm like, oh, sweet. You know, what's that going to be, like a couple $100? You know, how much can you win off 10 cents? It was $2,000. And from there, I was hooked.
Wow. Jeez. So you hit the jackpot.
I hit the jackpot. My best year, there was two years ago. Okay, we got to go. I got to eat. But 2 years ago, I had somewhere, I believe, 14 jackpots.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. This year, I think I have 3. But, yeah. So this is something I take very seriously. But we'll have to talk about it more in depth another time.
Most definitely. Wow. Okay, well, good luck to you, Jason. Be safe. Everybody be safe. Thank you for supporting Toronto Horizons. We're going to be coming up on, what, our 8th year? My 8th year? Is it 8 years or 9? I don't know. I know
yeah,
it's only
I don't
7.
Know. So,
that's a lot. But we're going to keep moving. I hope we're going to continue Paranormal Horizons.
Oh, yeah. It'll definitely happen. So, hope everybody
anyway,
has a safe week.
Be safe. Yeah. Lots of love and be safe.
Have a good week, everyone. And stay away from those damn slot machines. It's no good will come of that.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.